The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And this is Anton Savage in for Pat on the Pat Kenny Show. A shortage of veterinarians is reported to be leading to burnout in the profession. Now, this is despite figures suggesting that Ireland has more vets now than it's ever had. The Veterinary Council of Ireland, the body responsible for the management of the industry, has a register of 3,154 vets and 1,159 veterinary nurses. The president of Veterinary Ireland, Conor Geraghty, is with us. Conor, that sounds like an awful lot of vets and veterinary nurses. So why the crisis?
Good morning, Anton. Yes, I mean, it's 50% more than was there maybe two decades ago. But essentially, I suppose there's an increase in demand. So we have a huge boom in pet ownership and small animal companion animal practice, which is, you know, sucking up a large amount of resources from a veterinary viewpoint. And there's a change in lifestyle requirements for graduates now. You know, they no longer approach it like vets of the 70s and 80s, that, you know, where it was a way of life that you did it 24/7. They want a more structured career now where you have time off, weekends off, etc. So ultimately, what we're looking at is in small animal practice, because of the increased workload, we've seen large numbers being sucked into that sector. And then for farm animal practice, we see that these jobs are no longer attractive to graduates, and people are finding it very hard to attract graduates. Many job advertisements don't get any reply at all. No CVs come in. And I was talking to an equine colleague this morning, and he said the average is one CV per advert now, compared to multiple a few years ago. So
why? Because people would rather be in small animal practice, is that it?
I think so. So there'd be a certain cohort of people that would be drawn to small animal practice. And also there's greater opportunity for specialisation. I think maybe the general public doesn't realise the degree of specialisation. You have oncologists, radiologists, all sorts of specialists in small animal practice now, very much like our human counterparts. And people are drawn to that specialisation now.
When you say about the thing of the vets now wanting slightly more freedom and flexibility in their lives than might have been the case 20 years ago, does that mean that there's a pressure to find locums to step in?
Yeah, so some locums are available, but locums tend to cherry pick duties that mightn't suit the practice. So, for example, in small animal practice, they might do some consultations, but no surgery. In large animal practice, they might do on call, but not any TB testing, for example. So, it's not a sustainable structure to run a practice on locums if you can find them. It's much more sustainable to have a structure of practice with a number of vets there that can share the on-call rota and that can do all the duties that are required.
Well, we're joined as well by Danny Holmes, who's a practicing small animal and equine vet. Danny, the increase in pet ownership that Conor was talking about, have you experienced that hands-on through COVID?
Oh, absolutely. It's been quite dramatic. I think it was realised quite early on that if you've got three kids at home from school, an animal is a very easy way to entertain them and a very good bonding for family in general. And plus, I think the parents being home meant that a lot of these dogs have, you know, had increased training to what they would normally have had in a family. So those dogs have all needed vaccines. They've all had their health problems. And especially at the start of life, they'd be into the vet maybe three or four times in the first year. On top of that, we have a number of dog breeder clients here, and all of them have been, you know, breeding much more than they used to in order to meet the demand that's out there.
And what have you found in terms of recruitment? Have you had to bring in extra staff to deal with it?
Well, you know, we were looking to expand our veterinary staff, and, I've had to work without that expansion for the last 4 months, and I've only just managed to find a vet literally yesterday, and so I'm hoping to get over that, but you know, it's just meant that, you know, whereas I would maybe have had weekends off, I've had to work most weekends for the past 4 months. It's been flat as a mat. I'm certainly feeling very burned out from the whole experience, and I'm sure that's replicated countrywide.
I assume that even without the pressures that the COVID explosion in pet ownership has created, being a vet is fairly antisocial in terms of the hours, because you must have to run clinics at the time that people are able to bring their pets in, which is the very time that everybody would like to no longer be working.
Yeah, I'm of the school of thought that, you know, a vet can train the clients rather than the other way around. And most people, you know, expect to go to the doctor during the day and should expect their vet to work during the day and not at night too. But it's much harder, say, in a Dublin setting, for example, where people aren't getting home from their urban jobs until 7 p.m. And, you know, a lot of the practices in Dublin, for example, would stay open late for that.
Well, Conor, you're based in Galway as well as being president of Veterinary Ireland. Do you see a big difference between cities, whether it be Galway and Dublin, versus rural Ireland in terms of the pressures for recruitment and the pressures on vets?
Absolutely. It's quite difficult to attract a young graduate down to rural towns, you know, where there aren't that many young people there Monday to Friday, Anton. You know, it can be quite isolating for a young graduate in a rural setting. And, you know, it's much easier to get a vet if you're within a half an hour of Dublin, for example, or a half an hour of Galway, than it is, you know, in one of the more rural areas.
And Conor, what's the solution to all of this?
Well, you know, I don't exactly know what the solution is, Anton, but we need a restructure of the veterinary service, really, because the old model is broken and it's not going to be replaced like a lot of things pre-COVID. It won't be the same again. I think we have to realise that if we want a veterinary service around the country, that we're going to have to make it a more sustainable veterinary service where we can attract graduates and we can retain graduates and we can keep them working in all the facets of veterinary, be it small or equine or large. And, you know, I think it's time maybe the Veterinary Council will have to step up here and do a little bit more research, as will the Department of Agriculture. And, you know, it's not just a matter of numbers, because we've never seen more numbers on the register, but we've never had such difficulty in filling positions.
But will it mirror what we saw in human medicine, where it went from sort of the local GP who arrived out with the bag to do house calls and all the rest of it, to the primary care model where you had shared GPs, three or four of them in a primary care centre, possibly with a pharmacy in with them? Is that the future for vets, that we go from the one local vet to three or four working together?
Well, I think practices need to get bigger. They have got bigger, in fairness, in the last 10 years, but they need to get bigger again. Now, in large animal practice, there is a limiting factor in that you have to provide an on-call farm service. So, you know, there's only so many farms or such a radius you can cover on call. It's different to where people present at a clinic, either in small animals or in humans. So that presents an issue. I think we definitely need to get bigger. Rotas need to get better. And, you know, remuneration for graduates needs to be better as well. And I think we have to decouple the notion that, you know, farm incomes are low, therefore veterinary fees have to be low. I don't think that stands in any other input in the industry. And I think the same applies with veterinary services. So I think, you know, somebody needs to have an umbrella view of this and do a bit of research, because the market will level itself, but there'll be a lot of pain involved for both farmers and pet owners if the market has to level itself, because obviously service will suffer.
Before I let you both go, there's a lot of text coming in along the lines of this one that says, shame on people who bought pets during the pandemic. Have people not learned that pets are not a quick fix? They are a lifelong commitment. Danny, would you have any concerns that the people who got into pet ownership during COVID got in without fully knowing what they were taking on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a day-to-day problem, that, you know, the clients misjudge the type of dog that would suit them, or even whether a dog or a cat is better for them. And, you know, it's very difficult when you go and see a litter of pups not to, you know, be smitten by them and take a pup with not full regard for whether that pup is going to be suitable. And it's still, to some extent, a little bit of an impulse purchase by people. So yes, all I'd say is, anyone that has a pet and, you know, they are repenting at leisure now that, you know, it's not right for them, or they have to go back into the cities and work, you know, that the dog will be on its own too much and won't get the care that it needs, you know, don't just, you know, cast it off. Contact your local veterinary practices. Contact your local rescue centres. There's a good support network there for those animals, and we'll do our best to get them replaced into a home that is ideal for them.
Danny, thanks very much. That's Danny Holmes, who is a practicing small animal and equine vet. And before him was Conor Geraghty, who's president of Veterinary Ireland and himself a vet in County Galway.